Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. So sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. And we're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com and download the PropSwap app today. And Better Fantasy is a free-to-play app that lets you bet on all your favorite NFL player props for a chance to win awesome prizes. Download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's B-E-T-T-O-R, fantasy.com/SGPN. And we're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. And, of course, do not forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. It's your boy, Boston Capper. Wasn't here last night. Steve piloted the show by himself and did an outstanding job. We'll do a little more of a Sony recap. Steve wants to yell at me for probably 20 to 30 minutes. And then we'll move on to the American Express. Steve, are you ready to yell and then break down the next tournament?
Well, I appreciate you kissing my ass before I, you know, chee out here.
Oh, I told you that off air.
I know you did, but, you know, you buttered me up a little bit. I appreciate that. It's not going to save you. I got on here last night, and I had the Sony on. It was
heartbreaking to listen to because I knew what happened.
Yes, it was heartbreaking.
You're like, oh, huge par putt.
It was heartbreaking to listen back to the sound check, too. I didn't really enjoy that either. But the story for the last 48 hours was your attempts to mush this thing 70 ways over. Which is bizarre because I know you believe in that power. I know you believe that if someone says something, when you have something big on the line, someone says something positive or like comments on that on the bet, you lose your fucking mind.
Sometimes.
And let me say, let's go over what you did for 48 hours. Okay. Friday afternoon when Henley started going.
Before tee off.
No, I think this is when he actually closed on Friday. This was Friday evening when you said
evening. Okay.
Boston Capper, I quote, I just don't think Henley can win. He always spits the bit. Capper, clown face. That's the first attempt. That's you trying to get out of ahead of the bad news. Okay. All right. Let's go to the next day.
I did say that quote and I did feel like a clown when I said it.
Actually, this is later that evening. I think, you know, couple drinks were flowing. You said, all right, listen, my bet is toast. Jim Nance level burnt. Doesn't even matter. All the outrights are dead. Henley has an insurmountable lead. Six shots to anyone we have. Now, let's take a timeout.
Sure.
Did you not know we all had Henley?
So the funny thing is I didn't until Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. Okay. I didn't. And what's funny is I was like, oh, fuck, Steve's on Henley.
And Moonoff and half the Slack channel, by the way. Okay. All right. And by the way, I'm replying, you're such an asshole. And he literally blew this lead at the window. This continued on a text chain on Saturday when we were talking to Jay, which he had his brother-in-law in from Massachusetts, a fellow Pats fan who also had a bet on Henley, by the way.
I told you, this is the only time I was truly trolling you. I even texted Jay off to the side. I love doing this to you.
Okay, but still, you've spoken into existence.
Fine.
And but, I was joking around. I'm like, listen, Boston Capper, mush it. Like, he's just toss chicken away. And then you say, I didn't mush it. There's no way he can blow it. Speaking that into existence. And then yesterday, you're pissed off at me. Oh, yeah, let's actually go back to what, Saturday morning? Let's rewind a little bit. Oh, yeah. You're blowing me up saying I should just bet Henley plus 140 right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, it's Saturday morning. It's 36 holes.
Yeah.
He's only up three. Yeah. He's got to get to like 25 under probably in order to take this down. He's not done.
Yeah.
But why would you want to unload your bankroll on that? So then all day yesterday, you're like, you know, you owe me money. Saturday.
I was, oh, was it Sunday?
No, this was yesterday. This was the cherry on top. So glad I chose answer over Henley, but another win for the podcast. He was only up one at that point on like hole five.
No.
Yes.
He was up more than that.
No, it wasn't. This was at like 7:30. They teed off at six.
I feel like he was up more than that. But that's fine.
And then I gave you a gift, like, all right, let's hug it out. I got a little tense with you. I wasn't happy with it, but it's fine. And then you sexted immediately after Henley goes up five. And this is when the oak tree fell. All the chopping you did, all the axe hammers to it. Where do you want to send the $500, which in context, I owe you because I told you not to bet Henley on Saturday morning. And as soon as that happened, in 15 minutes, the lead was down to two.
Yo.
It was one, and then it was zero. So here's what I want to close with, though.
Okay.
About a week ago, I think you were watching, Brown Steelers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Paulie Mushman.
And you sent me a certain screenshot a certain conversation that you had on Twitter with Paulie Poodle.
It was you, Paulie.
Yeah. You tweeted, because I'm not on Twitter, you have to send me this stuff. Does Big Ben know how much juice I laid for his over 1.5 touchdown? Paulie Poodle. Here it comes. Just trying to support a good friend. You reply with Gordon Ramsay, seriously. And then Paulie tries to defend himself, and you say, and I quote, you said, here it comes. You know the rules, Paulie. You aren't green anymore, JFC. So let me ask a question. So what is that rule?
I broke the rule. That's fine.
I broke it. Multiple times.
Yeah. But I really believed it, especially when he went up five on the back nine. Who chokes away a lead like that?
Well, Russell Henley, because that happened exactly at the Wyndham.
Oh, my God. Like, what a joke. And so, and look, and like I said, so, like, it's not like I didn't have a staple in the game. I got Hideki at, whatever it was, plus 300, I think, on Saturday.
Congratulations on your win.
No. So, listen, right? So, and so, especially because everybody's yelling at me about mushing and shit. I was like, fine, fuck it. I think I got it, like, minus fucking, like, 350 or minus 400 when he was fucking up, like, when he was up five with nine to go. I was like, fuck it, let's go. I don't care. Like whatever I have. I got Decky, too. I was like, if this loses, I only lose a little bit. So, like, it's, listen, I was there with you. Like, dude, I really believe, like, that's why I was texting you on Saturday. Like, listen, I don't think this guy's going to blow this. Like, there's no way this guy can do this again.
Okay. All right. Listen, here's where I come down on this. I'm at peace with what happened. I'm not one to fully say, yes, you absolutely mushed it. It's a really bad look for you.
But
I also realize it took Hideki Matsuyama, of all fucking people, to
lead. Oh, my God.
The
best putting performance of his career.
On Bermuda. But you didn't help the matter, sir. And there's a lot of people who believe in this shit more than I do, including Mudoff, who is probably sending a Bolivian death squad to your house right now. He's not happy either that happened. Nobody. Oh, we had a private, like, it was a very sad conversation on Slack. Just like we saw what was about to happen, and it just, we couldn't help it. It just,
oh, when it went to a playoff, I knew it was done.
Oh, it was over. I mean,
like before they even teed off, I was like, no, he's gonna lose.
Well, because they were gonna go to a par five, which, okay, Hideki is probably gonna be better than Russell Henley on a par five, and then they were going to go to 10, which is the drivable par four, which Hideki drove the green like three times that week. Yeah, it was over. Henley needed to hit that putt in regulation to end it, and just
what a choke job. Like I don't understand.
Well, he shot 65.
Doesn't matter. What did he do on the back nine? He shot plus one.
I know he didn't do anything, but it literally took Hideki's best putting performance ever.
And
Henley should have been up three or four.
Anything on the back nine.
I get that.
Plus one.
I get that.
But at this course.
Listen, I get that, but in the totality of the tournament, Hideki led the field in putting. Hideki shouldn't even been close. Sorry. Like, congratulations if you had a Hideki ticket pre-tournament.
Yeah, some people did.
But 20-1. But even you didn't think he was going to do it because of his fucking putter.
Because his history here, putting is terrible. Like,
his history everywhere is terrible on Bermuda. So whatever. You know what? Listen, sour grapes is what it is. I still have coming out ahead for the tournament because I had nailed a bunch of other shit that was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't really complain. Hitting Henley would have been the cherry on top. I'm done talking about that stupid tournament. Why move on to another stupid tournament?
But this tournament's really fucking stupid.
It is. So you guys heard me talk last night. In my 35-minute podcast, as I still clung to hope that Henley would come through for me, which he didn't. So you guys kind of know where my head's at. So Boston Capper, what are you looking for? I mean, this thing's kind of a mess. It always usually is a mess.
It's just a mess. It's the same shit I look for every week. Look at a little bit of tournament history. I don't even know how to take into last year, seeing how they didn't play all three courses. Just good iron players that are in from like 175 in, somebody who can get hot with a putter, somebody can spike. I mean, it's all the same shit like always, right? I mean, it's the same shit we look for every week for the most part. Who's coming in good form? Who's got a good history here? Who are we seeing the first time? Who are we getting a nice discount on? Who's mispriced? That type of shit. I mean, that's it, man.
Yeah, I mean, the only problem with this place is you actually look at some of the guys who came in with their form.
I know.
Who ended up winning, it's trash. Like, I think Landry missed four straight cuts and then won. Yeah. Adam Long missed, like, six straight cuts and won.
I forgot about Long.
Hudson Swafford didn't really do much. Siwoo had a couple good finishes the previous fall.
Mm-hmm.
But coming in, he was like, all right, it's not that great. So that's tough. The fact that, you know, they split this tournament up with three courses and like these guys only have maybe like 15 cumulative rounds total at all of them.
Yeah.
That's a very small sample size. That's not really a lot to go on.
Nope.
While I am focusing on like, you know, between like 125 and 200 for my proximity, like it's not like a dominating range for all these guys. It's kind of a large range, like about half their approach that's going to come from that range. And that's not really great. It's a bad field. So even though you're trying to look for your iron players and, you know, good strokes gained guys, like most of these guys suck. you could go for the overseeded putting performance, but there's not a whole lot on the PGA Tour. And sometimes, like, if you look at a course, it is overseeded, it's not, depends on the time of year, like, stuff. So, I guess I'm kind of going just on feel, guys who make guys who can score, put up some birdies, because except for one, I think there's only going to be one day where it's going to be kind of challenging scoring conditions. But yeah, this is kind of going to be a mess. I'm going to try and maybe scale back my betting card a little bit.
I'm 100% scaling.
I had a big betting card last week, and
me too.
I did pretty well this week. Be careful out there, fellas.
Yeah, I ended up positive last week too, with matchups and kids and Sheamus coming in top 10. Obviously, you fucking helped with that too.
Oh yeah, Matt Kuchar boned me at the end too. But,
yeah, what happened to that? They didn't show a single fucking shot, like always. So
Connors made a massive run on Sunday.
Oh, I know, it was beautiful. That helped me too.
But he was sitting only 16 under. He had a bunch of guys behind him, and they all passed him, and he finished 11th.
Oh,
that sucks.
That's just the worst.
I know, that's always the worst. So it is what it is. I also had Sheamus Power top 10. I am coming ahead on that. I think the only real gripe other than your conduct was Webb Simpson. I talked about this last week.
God,
it's bad.
First of all, let me comment on that. So how big of a raise do you think that dude at FanDuel got for hanging that shit at plus 450? The amount of money FanDuel must have made on that plus four. They were offering cash out.
I forgot about that.
Dude. That dude is now has a corner office, just like a.
Well, he probably has a corner office with DraftKings now, because he probably got fired from FanDuel. Yeah, and they tried to hire him back. He's like, no, DraftKings offered more. I'm going to go, work for them.
Exactly. Fucking wild, all right, man.
All right, why don't we take a break, and then we'll get into breaking down DFS for the American Express.
All right, sounds good. So listen, if you guys are ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. And we're bringing you the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas, the online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips. Get on all your favorite teams, players, and sports. WynnBET also has some brand new bonuses. Bet $5 to win $400 in free bets. And don't forget, you can also win a trip to Shaq's Funhouse in L.A. Bet $20 on the Build Your Own Bet feature and earn a chance to win a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the big game. You and three guests will receive a VIP experience at Shaq's Funhouse, two nights at Wynn Las Vegas, a $5,000 free bet at the Wynn Las Vegas Sportsbook, and a $5,000 travel credit. First class, baby. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win today. So if you're ready to play, and you should be, go sign up today and receive a special offer, a risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com.
All right, you want to go over some ownership projections?
Yeah, I mean, this is super early, right?
It's early, but, you know. Yeah. Nice overview before we do it. So, all right, what do you got up there on your screen there?
All right, so 10K and over. It's two guys on top. I was actually surprised to see Rahm as high as it is, because it's kind of tough to make some of this stuff fit with a lot of the guys in the lower range. But yeah, over 22% for Rahm and Cantlay, as expected, like both studs.
Mm-hmm. I got a feeling that you're going to have to use one of those guys in the lineup. I think if you don't, I think it's going to have to go real perfect for you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and both are, you can make an argument for both of them. That's why I think the Cavs light this week too, right?
Right.
Both these guys go out and curb stomp the field.
Yeah, I mean, they're both under 10 to 1.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. You can't bet that shit. And then you got, I found surprising, him. Everybody's giving him a pass.
I mean, the course history here is pretty good.
Yeah,
clearly they forget what happened. I think on Saturday at hole 11, that's where the term knucklehead ended up coming to existence.
Yep.
So I think we both had a bet on him.
We did. It was fun.
We'll see that melt away, but then Siwoo saved the day.
He did. Thank God. You know, thank God. Fucking Siwoo, baby. And then, I mean, it really, it's kind of just clogged up here, man. The only person who's not over 15% owned, I guess, is two. You got Willie Z, because nobody's seen him and he can't pop worth a shit. And right. Then Matty Wolf is under 15, and I don't know if that's the Sobel curse or what, but he's
I think you should mention that guy by name on this podcast, but I think that's a course history thing. He hasn't been very good, especially the stadium course, and considering there's two rounds there. I mean, the final rounds there, you don't, you know, I don't know. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
That's fine. And then the 8K range, the chalkiest dudes are your boy Gesundheit and my boy Vegas. So,
and Henley, Henley's 9,000, so that doesn't count. Yeah, I mean, it seems like everybody's skipping this range. It's stars and scrubs, three guys over 9, and then dipping right down to the 7s.
Yeah, and the 7s, I mean, the 7s has got a lot of good plays in here, but the chalkiest dudes you're looking at, Russell Knox, I don't know if that's based off the performance last week. Hadwin obviously has a great history here, so that makes sense at 13%.
Yeah, Knox has a good history here, too. I think he finished top 10 last year.
HV3, because everybody just always plays him, including myself.
I don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I don't want any of them this week, but he'll be on my first round leader card probably. If they even offer it, who knows where they're teeing off at. This is why I hate this fucking tournament.
I got to look up and make sure I get all the who started where. Yeah. I think last year he was actually on stadium course.
Didn't they? Don't they split it though? Like,
no. Okay. No, just whatever is the leader after day one.
Okay. I feel like my book last year fucking split this. But and then you got Michael Thompson.
Oh, you know what? Sometimes they offer like the different ones, but then they'll just offer like, all right, standalone.
Yeah, that's fine. And then obviously last week's performance, Michael Thompson, really good. Course history here is really good.
Yep.
You know, that's still sub 10. So, I mean, really, it's kind of spread out in the 7K range. I mean, there's really no really super duper heavy
so you get guys. Adam
Svensson, which, hey man, good history, played lights out this weekend.
Yeah.
Why not? I feel like it's deserving. And then in the 6K range, what do we got? We got
Davis. Eric Norlander, because everybody knows the name.
Yeah, he's only at 5.5. You got Davis Riley at 6.5.
Yeah, that's, he played well. He was on TV a lot last on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's a talented Corn Ferry guy. So guys are going back to him. Swafford won here before.
Yeah. Duffner's won here before.
Yeah, so people are just gravitating just kind of biggies. But that's not big ownership anyway.
No,
so
no. But anything over five in this range.
Yeah, it's notable. So yep. It's a different shade of green. Let's put it that
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
All right. Then I guess let's go to $10,000 range then. Let's just kick it off. So right, you got John Rahm at 11.3. You got Patrick Cantlay at 10.9. You got Sky Scheffler at 10.6 and Tony Finau at 10.2. I'm just going to make this short and simple. I'm just going to go with John Rahm. I know it's a tough build, but I mean, I don't really like a whole lot of guys in the eights. You know, even some guys in the lower nines I don't really like either. So I'm going to go with John Rahm. I think he curb stomped this field, and if he does, then you have to have him in the lineup, and I'm just going to go with him. And then my fade, I mean, I guess it's probably Finau. I know he's not popular, but, you know, I mean, I think he's just the weakest of the four, obviously. He hasn't been playing all that great. The putter's been really bad. If this thing's going to be, you know, you got putt. If this thing's going to be a birdie fest, I don't think lightning's going to strike 2 weeks in a row where hit, you know, a really bad putter all of a sudden turns into Brad Faxon. So yeah, Finau is my fade in this range, and I'll probably just eat, you know, the big price and go with Rahm.
Yeah, look, I mean, I have the same thing written down, right? I mean, even you know, like you said, Rahm could curve off the field here. It's not a crippling build because you have a lot of flexibility in the sevens, as long as you hit your sevens guys, and if you hit your 6K guy, and if you think about it. When he played Cam Smith and Cam Smith held him off, it didn't even look like Rahm's best game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he hit a lot of putts that week.
But, yeah, but the irons were loose. Like, yeah, so he could absolutely – it really the same thing goes for Cantlay, but I'm taking Rahm just because obviously he's my guy. The same thing, I'm fading Finau. His putting's garbage. It's not Poa. I know it's overseeded. I think you said with some Poa in it, but whatever.
It's not Poa Anna, which is the West Coast. It's Poa Trivialis, which is basically just a weed that they put on top. That's what's overseeded with this week. So, so he made a run at, like, if you think about like some other overseeded golf courses, he had a second place at Phoenix a couple of years ago, but other than that, he didn't really, you know, play well there. I think he has like a 10th here, and he's got a couple other mediocre finishes. He doesn't usually putt very well in the overseed either. So I don't know. I don't really see the situation where, you know, he's putting bad, but he gets on a surface he's pretty good on. You know, I just don't see it out of him this week.
I'm perfectly fine with it.
Okay. All right. Let's move down to the 9K range.
All right. So the 9K range, this is, you want to talk about Sophie's choice for me, man. There is all my guys are in here, man. So I guess I can read them all. All right. So we got M, Gooch, Sheamus, Connors, Wolf, Answer, Willie Z, and Henley. So, I mean, in reality, I want to play Gooch, Sheamus, and Connors. I want to play them all. But if I gotta choose one, I think I'm gonna go with Sheamus. I'm gonna go with Sheamus. He was putting really well, made a nice charge, nice and even. Connors had that really shaky Saturday, and he shot a 64 on Sunday, which was nice.
But thank you to Corey Connors for beating old man Stu Sink on Saturday, by the way. That was too close for comfort.
I know you were so happy.
I was really triggered by that. Yeah. Buddy hit the big eagle. That's all that matters.
That's it. That's all.
Take down that old man.
And if you think about it, Corey, you know, that's obviously the best putting surface. That for whatever reason, he putts really fucking well there. So for me, it was really between Gooch and Sheamus. I thought about. I'm definitely going to have both of them, man. Gooch is going to have to play with fucking Kevin Na and just go insane waiting for him to, you know, finally hit his shot and hit his fucking putts. So I'm going to have both of them, but I'm going to take Sheamus Power, man. I mean, what's he got? Fucking four top 20s in his last four events or three, something like that. Like, he's just a different golfer now. I think he's priced right in this field. I really like Sheamus Power. It's not just my shtick about him being Irish. I'm all about Sheamus here. And I'm going to fade. It feels like an easy fade, but I'm going to fade Henley. There's no way mentally that dude can come back after losing a five-shot lead on the back nine.
Yeah, he's really bad here, too.
He could have the best course history in the world. There is zero chance he can get his mind right and actually play a good four rounds of golf after.
He did. What was he in the final group of the U.S. Open? He played okay at the Travelers next week.
Yeah. But,
he doesn't play well here, so I'm probably going to pass on him. And honestly, I think I need a break from Russell Henley after dramatic PTSD moments. And, that's enough. That's enough,
that's right.
I think.
That's right.
Sungjae's great at this golf course. He played well on Friday. I don't know what happened to him in the first round of the Sony.
It's so crazy.
It was, but then he played fine on Friday.
Oh, yeah. He was burning edges on Thursday too.
Yeah, so you know what? Maybe I'll just go back to him. I don't care if it's chalk. Like that, trust me, the guys I like under 8.
Yeah.
No one's on. Okay. So I don't worry about not having a diversified roster. It'll be fine. Yeah. And I think I'm going to go with Gooch. I think last week was Powers week. I think this is going to be a Gooch week. I think they're basically they're both about the same player at this point. And Gooch has a lot of success here. I'm just going to go with that. And then, I think with Will Zalatoris, I need to see it. Like, I need to see, like, has he fixed things around the green and like with the putter? Cause he was a mess last fall with that. Even the ball striking started to go away with him too. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think a tournament like this where, he's going to have to keep the driver in the bag a lot, especially on the stadium course. I think I just need to see it first for him. So he's my fade.
I like it.
Why don't we take a break and then we'll keep going.
All right, man. Sounds like a plan. So we are brought to you by PropSwap, where America buys and sells sports bets. So the NFL playoffs are in full swing. You could have told the Patriots that. And prop swappers are cashing in. Like Will from Arizona, who on Sunday night sold his $50 100-1 49er Super Bowl ticket for $500 on PropSwap. Will locked in his profit when he turned his $50 bet into $500. And the buyer got great odds, and the seller made 10 times his bet. PropSwap has thousands of buyers across the country, so you'll always find the best odds and collect the most money for your bets. Hurry and download the free PropSwap app today. PropSwap has fantastic features like filtering listed tickets based on the best value, a free activity feed to stay in the know with all the big sales and red hot tickets for sale. Loyalty rewards program that turns your ticket sales into extra bonus cash and a first deposit cash match. Use promo code SGPN on your first deposit and PropSwap will match your deposit up to $500. So go join the real sports bettors on PropSwap. It's where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right. It's because the AK range. This is where I started to kind of get sick.
Okay.
Let's start with Patrick Reed first.
Gross.
Okay, you say it's gross, and he has been kind of gross, but I mean, his last handful of starts, he's got a second at Bermuda, he's got a third at the Hero, where he actually like I know it's a 19 person field, but he was in the mix of the Hero.
So, right, no, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I'll count that. And then he was almost DFL after the first round of the Century, and he climbed all the way to T15. So he was fine the rest of the tournament there. I mean, he's won this tournament before. He has a pretty good, obviously you have a good course history if you won this before. One of the other things I did too was.
When did he win?
He won it in 2014. So this was before the stadium course came into existence.
It's forever.
So, here's the thing about Patrick Reed. He's actually awesome at the stadium course. Like, I think last year, one of my concerns was, well, how is he, like, I know he won it before the stadium course came into existence. Like, and he hadn't really had a good finish since then. Was the stadium course thing, and it's not. He's actually really good. He's got one of the better course histories at the stadium course, and he's really good at the Kansas too. For whatever reason, he sucks at the Nicklaus tournament. I don't get it at all. Like, he's losing, like, I think 3 strokes a round to everybody there. So, and Nicklaus isn't all that challenging. Like, I know there's some water, but, like, it's basically the stadium course, but everything's kind of straight out in front of you. So if he could just have an okay or decent round it at the Nicklaus, I know he can do well at stadium. I know he can do well at La Quinta, and then they play Sunday at stadium, and he's 5%. So yeah, I'll take that. And then I'll take my boy Bazain Hoot again. I was impressed by him last week. He cashed the top 30 for me. He also cashed a matchup with Matt McNeely. His iron play has been pretty good over the last year or so. He's a great putter. He hit the ball great last week. Didn't actually put, I mean, he putted fine. He was in the positive, but it wasn't Bazain who's out standards. So I go with him, and then I'm fading everybody else in this range. I just kind of want to puke with everybody.
All right.
Seriously, I mean, there's a couple of guys I would consider for outrights, but DFS, I'm like, I don't trust any of these schmucks.
Listen, let's cut down on the slander.
There's a couple of schmucks.
Let's cut down on the slander in here, okay? Yeah, there's definitely schmucks in here. Okay. But listen, the disrespect for Siwoo Kim at $8,300 at less than 10% owned, the dude won. He played fine until he lost everything. I think he lost like 3 strokes fucking putting this weekend. Whatever. That's what you sign up for with Siwoo. You're not getting any steady performance out of Siwoo. You're not looking for a top 20, right? Like, if you pick him, you think he's going to win. And you think he's going to make birdies.
So you think he's going back-to-back?
That didn't say that.
You just say you pick him because you think he's going to win.
Yeah, and he's going to score birdies, right? So
okay, fine.
I couched it a little bit. You caught me. So I like Siwoo. And then, I mean, I love Johnny Vegas. Why would I not play him here? He won here, oh, God knows, what, probably 10 years ago at this point?
Yeah, like 2010. Since then, it hasn't gone so great for him.
No, that's fine. But he's coming in decent form. Top 25 at Houston, top 15.
Yeah, that was like 4 months ago.
I don't care.
Okay.
Played already at the RSM. He's a beast off the tee. And he can get hot with his putter, too. Now, he can. He can. I don't want that face. He can. We really do got to get the YouTube going so people can see the faces we make at each other. I like both of them. And I thought about sprinkling a little Ortiz, too.
See.
And what do you think about Noren? Is criminally underowned, I think.
I liked Noren, and I just was just like, I think I was thinking about this as I was doing dishes tonight. I'm like, that's a loser pick.
It
like
is.
That has like T38 written all over it.
Yeah, maybe that's
like, I've been down the Noren road a couple times last fall. I know he's got an okay course history here.
Yeah,
I think he finished like top 15 1 year. One of the other things I did was I combined like because they're playing a Nicklaus and they're playing a die course.
Yeah.
And Nicklaus kind of borrowed a lot of concepts from Die with building certain, you know, his golf courses. So I made a composite of Die and Nicklaus, and I threw some Bobby Weed stuff in there too, because, you know, that's a Die disciple. So basically all that shit into a giant mixer to see what comes out.
I love you so much.
And Alex Noren actually has a pretty good history to all of them. I think it's mostly Die related, but is your back okay?
No.
Okay. All right. We're good. anyways. So I looked at his results in the fall.
Yeah, it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
I think I'm gonna pass and
okay, that's fine. Else can... fine.
All right. 7,000 range. Why don't you kick it off? You say you like a lot of guys down here.
I do, man. I have so many fucking names written down. So this is where you're gonna have to like, I don't know, if you're doing like a 20 entry or you're doing like 50, like pick your core three, or you're gonna have to sprinkle some of these guys in. So I mean, really, like, I love a lot of these guys, like, so many. Like, Doug Gim, like, I know that's your boy, but 7,500, Pete Dye, he was in the final group at TPC Sawgrass before he diarrheaed down his leg. But what did you expect him to do? Like, I don't expect him to win. It's 7,500, criminally underpriced. Thompson, 7,500, after last week's and this course history, criminally underpriced. Svensson, was 7,200? Great course history, played amazing last week. Buckley, like, new young gun, like, did okay at the Sony, fine, like, whatever.
He was top 20. What are you talking
about?
That's
what I'm saying. It did fine. Did good.
that's pretty good for Buck.
I know. I'm trying to temper my expectations, okay?
All right, fine.
So, really like him. And I think Woodland, in this field,
that's interesting. Because he went, I think, cut, withdraw, T9,
yep.
Cut.
Yep. But I feel like he's healthy now. He's on every single one of my year-long fantasy leagues. I just feel like he's mispriced. Listen, if he hit a ceiling and what we got from him is what we got. But as far as like pedigree, dude, the guy's a fucking major winner, and I can get him. And he's not cooked. He's not. You know what I'm saying? If he's healthy, he's not.
He might be cooked if he's not healthy.
Exactly.
I mean, right. How old do you think Gary Woodland is?
I don't know. What is he, fucking 34, 35?
I think he's a lot older than that.
No.
He is 37.
Okay, so whatever. I was in the range. Listen, once you get past 35, it's all the same, bro. Until you get to 45 and then 50. But anyway, yeah. So I just think he's mispriced. I'm going to play him solely based off, like, he should not be priced around the guys that are around him. Chez Reavy is the same price as fucking Gary Woodland. Get out of my face. Like, I'm going to take him. I'm going to take a flyer on him. Fuck, man, I can talk about everybody. Like, Molinari, super low. Like, plays well in this type of golf, barely shows up, played well here last year, I believe. Plays good in this type of – he's a California guy now, like whatever. My boy Munez, like why wouldn't I want to play him again? Hadwin's got a great court history. The 7K range is just chock full of fucking like awesome plays. But I'll give three – my favorite three, Woodland.
After you named about 80.
That's what I'm saying. So I realized I just went off on a tangent. So I'll go Woodland – Thompson Buckley is my three favorites.
Okay. All right. I mean, I get this is a little bit of a smorgasbord down here, too, for me. I mean, right at the top there, you know, I mean, you can go with Hadwin with a really good course this year, although he hasn't been that great. But yeah, he's got like 3 seconds here. Yeah. So that's pretty good. Russell Knox is really good. Both those guys are popular, but I think my only concern about Knox is he actually gained strokes putting last week. Which he never really does. Nope. So, but he does put well on the overseeded surfaces. So maybe he can replicate it. So I don't mind him. You know, Denny McCarthy, he started off really slow last week. He had Ballon to make the cut. I think he finished inside like the top 40 or so. You know, but he puts really well on this surface. He's a good scrambler. He's improved his tee to green game over his last like, you know, 16, 17 rounds or so. So I don't mind him. You know, Cage Lee's just been kind of, you know, plugging along, churning out cuts, churning out top 40s. He's got a decent course history here. You know, T Green looks okay. So I don't mind him.
And he's good. He's good on die courses too.
Yeah, he is. So, and then you got Kramer Hickok, who is pretty good in some die courses, pretty good in some Nicklaus courses too. I think he finished T21 last year here. He finished T20 last week, had a fourth place at the Houston last fall, had a second at Travelers. You know, he's been hitting the ball pretty well tee to green lately. He hit pretty well last week. Didn't putt all that great, but actually, no, he actually putt pretty well last week. That's been something that's kind of been coming on for him, so I don't mind him. Andrew Putnam played all right last week. He's got really good course history. Good putter on the surface. You could do that. And then, like you said, I can kind of go back to my binkies, you know, my favorite Korn Ferry guys. You know, I've been loving Buckley. I was on him last week. He cashed a couple of things for me. That was good. Alex Smalley did not, but I still believe in the talent. And then
He had a good first round, though. Smalley played good. He was three or four under.
Smalley played well the first round, and then the second round just didn't go well for him. But yeah, I still believe in the guy's talent. And then Taylor Moore, he actually makes his 2021 debut. He had a couple of good finishes last fall, too. That's another guy, like, at $7,300. So, I know I named, like, a bunch, 8 or 9 guys, but I think that's basically going to be the core of my lineup, especially how I'm building. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to land on. So,
all right.
Now, why don't we take our break, and then we'll finish off DFS.
All right. Well, listen, the fantasy season may be over, but the action is still coming to the Better Fantasy app. Download their free-to-play app today and to bet on player props for the NFL playoffs. You can also enter their player prop pools and score big when you win. We love Better Fantasy because you can win awesome prizes and even raise some money for charity along the way. It's totally free to play. You'll earn better credits by completing the challenges and use them to place your bets. Better Fantasy is available worldwide and in all 50 states, brought to you by the Department of Redundancy Department. And download the app today over at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN.
All right. Under $7,000 when you're really going dumpster diving for this.
Yeah, but I feel like there's value down here, man.
Yeah, there is a little bit. I mean, I think CT Pan's a little bit of a value.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a solid player. I think he's better than a lot of the guys that are around him. He hits the ball pretty well tee to green.
Definitely.
He's won at Harbortown. That's a die course, so there you go. Shout out Jeff Nagel. His favorite guide, cheap guy to use on a Pete Dye golf course is, do you know?
No.
Probably. Dylan Fratelli.
Oh, God, he loves fucking Fratelli.
He loves Fratelli on die courses. I'm going to use him, too. So, okay. I mean, I think he's coming in ice cold. Did he play last week? I don't even think he did.
No, he did not.
But you know what? Fratelli on a Pete Dye. So just trust the process there. Pat Perez withdrew last week, but he's playing this week. Pat Perez was actually going to be a guy I was thinking about using at the Sony last week. Maybe I'll just use him this week. So, okay. Unfortunately, I think he's coming off in the fall, three missed cuts and a withdrawal. So that's not great.
We're in the 6K range.
But before that, he was fine. Yeah. He's $6,400. And then, you know, you had like your Buckleys. You had Grayson Sigg did well last week. You had Davis Riley do well last week. I think, you know, maybe this week you kind of pivot the other way, go with some of the other more talented, like Corn Ferry guys who didn't do so well last week. Maybe they turn around this week, Chad Ramey and Cameron Young. I think these guys are pretty good. They had good results in the fall. They missed the cut last week. I'm just going to go to them blindly. Just think that's, you know, it's their week.
I like it. I rely on you for the Corn Ferry guys. And there's a couple other people I follow on Twitter to give me any type of semblance because I don't watch that shit. I don't have my own insane spreadsheet like you. But that, I mean, really, like when you mentioned Buckley last week, I wrote him down and I tracked him on my shit and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I played Smalley in a bunch of my DK. And I was like, oh, okay. First round, I was like, I'm right. And then second round, I was like,
Yeah. That's what happens with these guys. They're young. I mean, Smalley's 25. Like, you know, he'll figure it out. But yeah, I mean, these guys have talent. You know, they just got to find a little bit of consistency. What's going on? What's going on?
I was just distracted. So I'm watching the Arizona Rams game, which all day I was on Rams laying 3. And then I decided that, nah, let's not do that. Let's go the complete opposite way. Because I've been cold. Yeah.
Good call. Can I ask a question here? Because yeah. I heard this talk about the week. What did anybody love about the Cardinals? They have been a dumpster fire for a month and a half, and they have maybe the worst coach of anyone in the playoffs. Cliff Kingsbury sucks.
Yeah, he's terrible. And he's literally
awful.
But did you see that play? So it went off of Moore's hands into, I don't know, fucking somebody on the Rams, bounced back out, and Moore caught it. Which is fine. Listen, I just teased Arizona in the over because I was like, I don't believe in either of these fucking teams. Stafford's a pick machine, fucking certified loser, like that type of shit. But I was like, Kingsbury is a bum. Like, yeah. Either way, all right. Back to fucking golf. All right.
Who do you like? What losers do you like under 7?
Oh, I like a lot of losers under 7. So, why after what JT posted played fine this week? He played fine this week. He played fine.
He sucks.
I think he's mispriced. I think he should be up in the 7K range.
I really do. He's great at putt-putt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's fair. Fine. Yeah. I like him. And give me Duff Daddy. Come on, man. Duffner here. Why not?
Okay.
And then right.
He's got a lot of red in the ball striking.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. It's fine.
Okay.
My boy Villegas. Let's go. Plays well at these type of courses in my brain.
You have a soft spot for him.
I do. And look,
where the hell is he?
Oh my God, there's the fucking pick. These guys suck.
All right, let's keep it rolling.
And then Sun Kang.
It's over. Give me
Sun Kang. Let's go. Sun Kang. He's
a bad guy.
Why am I a bad guy? I don't care. He's made me money. He plays well at these type of courses. He will be on my first round leader card. And he will make the cut. He will make the cut.
All right, then I'm going to – well, that means they got to hammer whoever's playing them on Sunday because the cut's after Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. See, that's wonky-ass fucking tournament. That even slipped my mind. It's fucking a Saturday cut.
Saturday cut, like, and then you're going to have guys coming in, like, we don't have strokes gain data on them for 2 days. Yeah. Like, this tournament sucks. Like, so, I didn't mention this on the preview course. Like, so I always go through the schedule – and I'm like, because there's too many fucking tournaments. Like, I don't mind doing this every single week, but it gets old sometimes.
Right.
And I was like, all right, if I could lop off like 5 or 6 tournaments, this is probably number 2 on the list. I understand this was the old Bob Hope Classic. Like, you had a couple, you know, when all the celebrities lived out in Palm Springs, but no one lives there anymore.
No.
This thing's a waste. It looks awful on television too.
It's bad to look at. It's fucking almost impossible to fucking handicap pre-tournament.
Yeah. Like even last year we had Siwoo and just like, it's kind of a snoozer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until Sunday.
Yeah. So, all right. That's my little rant about maybe we should order a drone strike on this tournament and just, you know, move on. All right. You got anything you're burning on?
Oh shit! Lots of stuff. I don't know if we got enough time.
Just rant.
I guess I'll rant about the Patriots.
Okay.
and Bills fans.
I will go on mute. Floor is yours.
No, no, you're fine. You chime in whatever you want.
I'm just gonna let you go because okay. I think you got a lot on your mind. So go.
So the Pats. I didn't think we could have a more embarrassing playoff performance than when we lost to the Ravens. I think it was 09 when Ray Rice busted out that 80-yard run on like the fucking third play from scrimmage, and we just got fucking boat raced. I was wrong. This shit was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. Defensively, they made no adjustments. Bill Belichick still doesn't respect Josh Allen, I don't think. And it's the dumbest fucking shit in the world. Now, we are literally back-to-back games. These motherfuckers haven't punted. Maybe you want to make some adjustments. Maybe stop drafting like an asshole. Maybe fucking get some talented players. Stop fucking trading back and getting six guys from St. Mary's School for the Blind because you think you can fucking coach them up. Because guess what? You don't have the fucking quarterback anymore, Bill. He's gone. He's in Tampa, and he's going to be in the NFC Championship game at the least. At the least. Don't worry. We got fucking McCorkle, who you don't trust to throw the fucking ball. You punt when we're down 14-0 at midfield like they're not going to march down the field and stuff it down your fucking throat. Get your mullet kid off of the fucking defensive calling. Put him on special teams, fetching coffee. Get that motherfucker off the coaching staff. I pray Gerard Mayo gets a job somewhere. I pray fucking Josh McDaniels, some dumb franchise, will hire you as the head coach so I can stop watching these fucking... It goes from conservative to some stupid trick play because he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. I can't fucking stand it. Our drafts have been fucking terrible. And everything else, like, look, we might have hit on the quarterback. At best, he's Kirk Cousins. At best. At best. Do you know how gross that is? At best, he's fucking Kirk Cousins.
It's why I hope that Daniel Jones would be.
It's so fucking gross.
It's not a great place to be.
The defense is so slow and old. McCourty got his ankles broken 9 times last night. Hightower looks like he needs oxygen just walking to the side of the field. I love both of those guys, responsible for many championships. And like, whatever. Listen, it was just embarrassing. Like, they didn't even fucking show up. They didn't even show up. And then I get Bills fans. I'm playful chirping with them. Like, whatever. Pelletier and, I don't know, a couple other guys on Twitter obviously want to chirp me. Like, call me old man because I'm living in the past. I'm like, listen, the past wasn't too long ago. We won a Super Bowl like 2 years ago. Like, relax. Like, and you guys got to win something. The Bills fans need to chill because they need to fucking win something before they turn into the Colts hanging up AFC Championship finalist banners. Like, fuck out of here. Like, your team's good. Your coach is still suspect. Quarterback's awesome. Eyes are too close together. Still don't trust him. And, yeah, man. I mean, that's it. It was just an embarrassing playoff performance. Hats off to the Bills. I mean, total fucking domination. Yeah, man. And they wanted to run up the score, too. And I respected the fucking hell out of that. I did. I respected the hell out of them. Being like, they wanted to hang a 50-burger. I was like, all right, I respect it. After, you know, 20 years of constantly just mushroom printing the Buffalo Bills fans' foreheads as the Patriots, I completely respect it and want them to run it up. But guys are going to lose in Kansas City next week, so fuck you.
Yeah, it seemed like – I mean, I know they took you guys to the woodshed when they were in Foxborough, but it seemed like they were just really pissed about how that first game went.
Oh, yeah.
And they just wanted to absolutely put the boots to you guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, it was 20 years of utter dominance, and now now they can do something about it. So good for them. Seriously, good for them. Like, whatever. Yeah.
Listen, I mean, all my friends up here are ecstatic. They all think they won the Super Bowl, and I'm trying to be that.
That's what's terrifying, dude. I was texting you and Jay about that. I was like, dude, you guys are celebrating way too much for a wildcard run. Get the fuck out of here, man. You guys are toast next week.
I don't know about that. I think the Chiefs are still kind of fraudulent. So we'll see. Guess we'll see. All right, let's do one more ad break, and then we'll go over who we got for outrights, which is kind of an ugly scene right now.
That was cathartic, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's why I'm out of here.
So, listen, since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in the speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it with their new game and their new platform. So head over to SoBet.io to create an account to see for yourself. through fully functioning and free web application. You can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes a consensus line from Vegas, a feed for what other people are betting on, the ability to send friendly wagers to anybody you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app, and it's purely competitive. So next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch and go to SoBet.io to see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. You just have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds and generate a bet by changing any metric they want, as long as somebody on the other side is willing to accept. So let's get back to the roots of sports betting. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And listen, do not forget to download the SGPN app. Listen, you can download it anywhere. I don't know why you're not downloading it. We got contests. All the pods are there. All the articles are there. Go download it. Don't be dumb.
Yeah, and give us a rate in review, by the way. We haven't gotten one of those in a while.
I know. Let's go.
We're hard for you guys.
I know, for real. This is a lot of work.
All right. Outrights. I'm going to let you go first because I have some things that I might do, but I might need to talk. I might need to have you be my psychiatrist.
All right, cool. That's fine.
All right. So what do you got so far?
I'm light. I only got three. And I don't like it. I feel like I want more, but I don't really know where to go. I feel like I need some longer bombs, so maybe you'll have some. Mine are just fucking simple, man. I'm going back to answer. I got them at 30 when it opened. Fine. Whatever. Going back. And maybe I'm glutton for punishment with this guy. I'm going back to Sheamus, man. Got him at 33. Let's go. I think he can win. I think this is a fair price for the talent in this in there. And then I took Woodland at 80. Give me Woodland. I really don't have anything other than I think it's mispriced, and this is a guy who can absolutely go out and win. And if I can get him at 80-1, then fucking this is such a shit show of a fucking tournament. Like, why not? Why not Woodland?
Yeah, I mean the blueprint was basically Duffner when he won 16. Everyone thought he was dead, and he ended up winning.
Duffner.
All right. So in full disclosure. I have a bet on Matthew Wolf, but then I found out he was mush, so that's money gone. I will make it back some other way. Okay. I just bet Scottie Scheffler at 20. Listen, there's not many guys who check the boxes that I'm looking for in this garbage field. He's one of the few. I think he opened at 20. I saw him on a couple books kind of trending down into the teens, and I just decided to bet it. Done. So that's that. And then we go all the way to 160-1. And I said in the preview show, I called my shot. We asked the question, when is the first rookie going to win on the PGA Tour? And I called my shot and said Hayden Buckley at the American Express. So I feel like I have to bet it. So
what's it at? I'm going to join you on that. What's that? 150?
I got it at 160. He's hanging around like 125-150 most places.
Okay, I'll jump on that.
Okay. All right. And then another just total gut call.
Okay.
Kramer Hickok, 190-1.
Okay.
He played well the Sony last week, fourth in Houston, lost the playoff of the Travelers, which is a Pete Dye adjacent golf course. It's really Bobby Wee, but it's Dye adjacent.
Yeah.
He's got some decent showing, some Nicklaus golf courses like at the PGA National.
Okay.
That's a Nicklaus course. He finished, I think, top 25 last year. One of the things I did notice, like, because I looked at all the winners, I tried to find some sort of like correlation. There's nothing.
There's none.
But the only thing was, all these guys had a little bit of success here. Like, it wasn't anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like a top 30, top 25, at least something that I could say, like, okay, he's done okay here.
Right.
And he's got it. So I like the price. He doesn't get in trouble a whole lot off the tee.
Okay.
Good scrambler. And he's been putting a little better lately. That's been kind of his kryptonite. And like, if you look at his skill set profile, kind of looks a little bit like Adam Long's. So maybe maybe there's something to it. So
okay.
All right. And then I got a bunch of maybes. So we're gonna go through the names.
All right, let's go. Let's run.
Sungjae 21-1. How do we feel about that? I think it's a no too.
I think it's a no. I think I'm going to I'll start betting him again for an outright on the Florida swing. He does so much better down here on the Florida swing on the Bermuda grass.
I mean, he does well here, too. But
I know
he did win five starts ago. So is that going to happen twice? I know he's a really talented player, but is that going to happen twice? He might be someone I just bet like a matchup or a positional prop.
Yeah.
Okay. Abe answered 33-1. He's been.
Dude, he's got a great.
This is just going on course history.
Course history, yeah.
Just faith. Yeah. Blind faith.
So he was on the ESPN Plus coverage. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, he had it rolling, and then he had an awful back nine.
Yeah. So I'm just going to chalk that up to whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to be like, all right, I'll just disregard it. Like, who knows? His wife texted him, like, something. You know what I mean? You know how it is. Like whatever. You get ruined by a text on a golf course.
All right. So they're not looking their phones in the golf course. But
okay. That was whatever. It got relayed to him somehow. Fine. That's how I narrated it, all right?
Fine. All right.
I'm on him.
Seamus Power, 33-1.
Yeah, I love it. Dude, he's due again. I'm telling you. Dude, he's been playing really fucking well.
He has been playing really well. Like, so I looked last year, and I was like, why did I pick Siwoo? And it just was like flashing red light.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of Taylor Gooshen and Seamus Power. And they're both about the same odds.
Yeah, okay. I was looking at Gooch at 30, and that's somebody who I wanted to add. But because the winner seems so random here, I'm like, man, am I going to take fucking three guys in the 30s?
And that's another thing, too. Like, it's fun to, like, debate about this stuff, but Rahm could just go out and win by six. And just
none of this matters. Exactly.
But we're still going to continue the conversation. Patrick Reed at 35.
I don't like him.
Come close to winning a few times.
I know.
Like, I still have a, like, why is he so bad on the Nicklaus tournament course? I don't get it. He's great everywhere else. I don't get it.
Who knows? Maybe Justine doesn't make his PB&J correct. Who knows?
All right. Do I go back to the loser train?
Uh-oh.
But take another loser.
Okay.
Cameron Tringali, 50-1.
So it's funny. I was looking at him, too. What's funny is he always comes so fucking close. And
he's
then
been
just
in a mix. So you know that little contention little?
Yeah, it's got to be at least seven times?
11.
Oh, see? Like,
it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And it's a lot over the last year, too. Like, yeah. He's added distance. Like, I mean, he's got a couple top 30s here. It's nothing really to write home about. But he had, what, a 11th at Houston. He almost won the Sanderson. He had, like, a second at Zozo.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Look, so
50-1's not bad.
It's not bad. Not bad.
Like, I mean, he's usually bad off the tee, but he's not hitting driver a whole lot.
Right.
He's an okay iron player, good scrambler, good putter, can make a lot of birdies. 50-1 for a guy who has come close, and this is kind of a crap fest tournament where
I don't hate it.
He shows up.
I don't hate it.
All right. That's a contender.
I feel like I literally just wrote it down as a top 10.
How about your boy Luke List, 80-1?
No.
We just had Team No Putt get a glorious win last week.
Fucking true. I don't know, man.
Okay. How about Cage Lee, 130-1?
I actually looked at that one, too.
Yeah.
I looked at that one, too. Plays Pete Dye well. Always comes out of nowhere.
He's been playing sneaky good for the last like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Like that Byron Nelson win, like, he hasn't had like a really good finish since then, but like, it's a lot of like top 40s, top 30s, like, kind of just grinding shit out.
Yeah. Maybe he pops in.
So he might be a positional prop that I'm looking at for maybe a live bet.
Huh.
All right. I got a lot to work with. We'll come back tomorrow. I'll have a finalized card, and we'll get to it, and then we'll talk about some other matchups and props that we'll bet on.
Yeah, matchups, props, positionals, any types of exotics. We'll go back over ownership if anything's changed, obviously. If there's any type of weather change and huge ownership shift, anybody withdraws, who knows? Listen, you guys know where to find Steve and all his brilliant fucking articles. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com and on our Slack channel, hence Twitterless Steve. You can find me on Twitter at Boston_Gapper. Feel free to yell at me about whatever the hell you want, and I'll typically respond and yell back at you. Other than that, tomorrow night, we'll finish out our betting card and any changes and things like that. Other than that, let's break them fucking books, baby. Let's go.